Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
From an undisclosed broadcasting location.
This is a test. For the next 60 seconds, this station will conduct a test of the emergency broadcast system.
America, here comes the relief from the pain. Unapologetically, this is Lock and Load with Bill Frady.
Hour number three.
This is Lock and Load, and I'm joined now by writer Dean Weingarten. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Bill. I'm glad to be here.
Yes, sir. It's always good. Always good to have Mr. Weingarten. We got a doozy to begin with. So apparently there's some judge in the Third Circuit. What is this pilgrim in the Third Circuit? What's his issue here?
Well, this is a woman judge, and I think she was one of the earlier women judge. She was born in 1935, and she graduated from Harvard Law School in 1965.
Wow.
So she's in senior status in the Third Circuit, which isn't that unusual. And let's see, she'll be 88 in, I think, tomorrow. She's not a spring chicken. She's been around a long time. And she actually experienced a bit of the World War II and maybe even a little bit of the Depression before that.
Yeah.
So she has a lot of experience. And go ahead.
No, I'm just laughing. So, yes, sir, I'm just listening.
So, and her name is Janet Richards Roth, and she was appointed to the Third Circuit in 1991. Oh, that's 30-some years ago. And, I'm trying to make the case that just because you're old doesn't mean you don't know what's going on. She wrote her her opinion, her dissent from the case is well-written. It was easy to understand. I just disagree with her premises. And this was in the case in the Third Circuit Court of Appeals of Range v. Lombardo, which I've written about before, that the Third Circuit includes Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the U.S. Virgin Islands. And in this case, Range had committed a minor crime. He had misstated his income on an application for welfare, and he had been fined and put on probation, and then he completed all that and has had a blameless life since then. And he says, that shouldn't be enough to take away my Second Amendment rights. And most of the judges in the circuit, and it was an en banc decision, so it had, 16 judges altogether. No, 15, excuse me, 15 judges. And nine of them concurred, were part of the majority opinion, and then there were another two that concurred in a separate opinion, and then there were four judges that dissented. And Janet Richards Roth wrote her own dissent separate of the others. So it's separate. It's not all that the judges agreed with her. And what was fascinating about her dissent was that I read it pretty closely, and it seems to make a very strong case based on progressive philosophy. Not on the Constitution, but on progressive philosophy. And she cites what I would say has been the aggressive, egregious overreach of the Commerce Clause under progressive judges since about 1937. And I think it was in 52, when we had a case called Wickard in the United States, where judges ruled that a man growing crops on his own land to feed his own animals was sufficiently close to interstate commerce or affecting interstate commerce that the federal government could regulate it. And that started this cascade of decisions where the Commerce Clause has been interpreted so that the federal government can regulate virtually anything in the United States on the theory that just about anything that happens in the United States affects interstate commerce. And that's the hook on which she hangs her dissent. And what she says is that it was decided a while back that Congress has the authority under the Commerce Clause to regulate the possession of handguns. Well, there were cases which upheld the NFA, National Firearms Act. But in my opinion, I've read a number of the cases. Some of them are pretty famous. One of them is called Cases. And they're really bad decisions.
Right.
I mean, they contradict themselves. They basically say, we want it this way because we want it this way. They're not good decisions. Some of them quote Miller. Some of them say that Miller is not applicable because we don't want Miller to be applicable. In other words, they essentially follow progressive philosophy, and the progressive philosophy is we don't like the constitutional restraints on the federal government, so we will either ignore those constitutional restraints or we will say that was then, this is now, we got to change things, and the Constitution has to be a living document, so we're not going to pay attention to how it was meant to operate. And let's see if I can get a quote here. Let's see. Here's a sentence from her dissent. Range presents a distinguishable question whether a federal statute, which the Supreme Court has upheld as a valid exercise of Congress's authority under the Commerce Clause, is constitutional as applied to him. And then she says that the parties in the majority conflate these spheres of authority and fail to address binding precedent affirming Congress's power to regulate the possession of firearms in interstate commerce. But the key here is that if Congress has the authority to regulate firearms, the possession, individual possession of firearms in interstate commerce by the Commerce Clause, the Bill of Rights has effectively been neutered, because then the Commerce Clause overrides your right to possess a firearm under the Second Amendment. So she's making the argument very explicitly.
Yeah.
That the Commerce Clause overrides the Second Amendment. Well, if that's the case, and she's saying it because the federal government, she claims, has the authority to regulate possession of something that is related to interstate commerce. And virtually under the cases that are looked at, everything is related to interstate commerce. And by that theory.
Well, hang on for me. I got a question for you. And coming up on the first break, this is published on the 15th at amaland.com. This is a fascinating article, because this is the way some judges think. There's this lady on here, apparently she's been there for a bit, and this is how she thinks. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load. We'll be right back.
Lancaster.com, the home of DeSantis quality built American-made products for 45-plus years. Supporting police and government contracts from first responders to responsible citizens. Holster.com is your source for quality American-made leather and kydex holsters for the armed American. For concealed carry or open carry, Holster.com has what you need.
We didn't invent concealment.
We perfected it. Go to Holster.com now and buy a DeSantis holster today.
At MGS, we have what it takes to reinvent yourself. With a curriculum designed to balance work, family, and a gun repair education, MGS provides the gateway into one of the fastest-growing segments of the gun industry. Modern Gun School's mission is to provide high-quality distance education using time-tested materials and hands-on projects designed to develop a proficiency in both the technique and the business of gunsmithing. Go to mgs.edu. MGS Trade School. Your future is waiting.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
7 million children suffer from asthma, more than any other chronic disease. Most asthma attacks are caused by allergic reactions to allergens, including those left behind by cockroaches and mice. In fact, 82% of U.S. households contain mouse allergens, and cockroaches are found in up to 98% of urban homes. How can you protect your family? Find out at PestWorld.org. A message from the National Pest Management Association and the American College of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology.
And welcome back. This is Lock and Load, talking to Dean Weingarten, talking about this decision out of the Third Circuit. Now, there's this statement here. The federal government has had more power than the Bill of Rights allows.
Yes.
That's interesting.
I would say that is correct. And a lot of this is from the Commerce Clause.
Yeah.
When you twist logic to the extent that virtually everything is covered by interstate commerce.
Right.
Because everything has some, either an effect on interstate commerce, or has some part of it has traveled in interstate commerce, the Commerce Clause essentially collapses because it means everything.
Right.
And what progressive judges have done over the last 70 years is essentially give the federal government power over everything by claiming it all fits under the Commerce Clause. What Judge Ross particularly claims that the Second Amendment is essentially gutted by the Commerce Clause, but under her argument, the First Amendment can also easily be gutted. After all, almost all First Amendment issues are related to interstate commerce one way or another. Your computer wasn't built in one state, and in any case, it affects interstate commerce in other states. Printing presses traveled in interstate commerce, or were made of metal that traveled in interstate commerce. Telephone lines cross interstate. Even paper is made in one state and shipped to another and then used perhaps in the publication of a book in another state. So you see how this idiocy of claiming that interstate commerce essentially is everything is just a massive power grab by the courts to give the legislature or themselves enormous power over everything.
Right.
And what's kind of funny is that Ross tries to use the "that was then, this is now" argument, which is very, very common. It's about half of progressive thought can be summed up in their argument, "that was then, this is now. Things have changed, therefore we have to do things differently, and we have to ignore the Constitution because that was then, this is now."
So, okay, next question, if I may. Now, isn't that really stepping beyond what a judge is supposed to look at something and say, does this fit within the law? And they're saying that the law, with this whole "that was then, this is now" thing, the law, the Bill of Rights, everything else, they're saying that it's subject to my interpretation is what they're saying, right?
Yes, exactly correct. That's exactly it. The idea of a living constitution is there, in my opinion, essentially to take power away from the people and give it to the legislature and the judges. And even the executive in a lot of cases. It's essentially a power grab. And it's a way to ignore the law when you want to ignore it. Well, we've got to do this because things are different now, and therefore we're going to ignore the Bill of Rights. Well, we've got to do this because things are different now, so we're going to say these administrative agencies can make law whatever they want to without the legislature passing a law. Well, that was then, this is now. Things are more complicated. But the argument doesn't really hold up. Because if you look at Roth in this case as, well, you know, in modern times, things are different. You know, there's more commerce. It moves faster. But the same arguments could be applied when the Second Amendment was ratified. Most gunsmiths didn't make their guns out of steel produced in their state. Many of them ordered locks, gun locks, from another state or even from England or France to put on the guns they were making. The lead was usually mined in a different state for bullets that were fired out of those guns. Powder was manufactured in only a couple of locations. You can see that this whole argument would have been silly if it was brought up in during the ratification. And during ratification, and Justice Thomas is really good on this, and he says that if you look at what was said during the ratification process of the Constitution, what people thought about the commerce and what clause and what commerce meant back then, it related to the buying and selling of goods and services trafficked across state line. It didn't have anything to do with manufacturing. It didn't have anything to do with agriculture that did not cross state lines.
Right.
In other words, if you grew food in your own state and fed it to your own animals, that was not commerce, as envisioned by the founding fathers when they wrote the Commerce Clause. If you bought something in your own state and sold it to somebody else in your own state, that was not interstate commerce. That was intrastate commerce. If you manufactured something in your own state, that was intrastate. That was not interstate commerce. Now, if you shipped it to another state, yes, then it would be interstate commerce. And, you know, he puts forward this powerful argument about what the meaning of interstate commerce was when the Constitution was ratified. It's brilliantly written. It's included in the article. I included it in the article, but it's absolutely brilliant in my opinion, and it shows how far we have strayed from what the Constitution intended and how much power progressive judges essentially have granted to the legislature, the executive branch, and frankly, to themselves directly to change what our laws are and how our society functions to something they want, which isn't ever run by people and which also takes away from the protections in the Constitution meant to protect minorities of every sort, whether they be of color or economic class or rural versus urban or whatever. Those protections were built into the Constitution. And they're have been heavily undermined by the Commerce Clause, the way it's interpreted. I would say by an egregiously false interpretation of the Commerce Clause. And it's good to note that Doug Roth is in a very significant minority here.
Right. That's good to know.
The Third Circuit.
We're
11.
Hang on.
Yes, go ahead.
We're coming up on the next break, and we'll finish this on the other side. Talking to Dean Weingarten. The name of the article is Progressive Judge Says Commerce Clause Overrides the Bill of Rights. That's interesting. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
I've seen just about every corner of this country, 3 million miles in my career. I spend a lot of hours on the road, but I love being my own boss. The road can be a beautiful place, but you're out here on your own. There certainly are risks. I'm Charles. I'm a truck driver, a husband, and a father. And that's why I choose Federal.
What's in a name? If that name is Ace Firearms, you've just entered a very expensive business. First, a fully appointed gun shop with all the guns, ammo, and accessories you could possibly imagine. But then you enter the manufacturing facility that is home to Red Alligator Concealment, Militia Arms Customs, and so much more. Ace Firearms is beyond a simple gun shop. This is a totally peerless operation. To find out more, go to acefirearms.com. Ace Firearms. This is only the beginning.
USA News Update. Search efforts for the missing sub used to explore the Titanic are intensifying. Underwater noises were heard, but the Coast Guard said searches haven't yielded any results. Crews have been searching for the sub since it was reported overdue on Sunday. Congress will start from scratch in regulating rapidly evolving artificial intelligence technology, according to Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer.
I laid out my ideas about a comprehensive framework Congress can use to supercharge AI innovation in a safe and responsible way.
He introduced potential AI regulations and outlined expert forums to guide Congress. A new poll is showing an increase of Americans who believe a person's gender should be determined based on their biological sex. It says 61% of Americans define gender as the sex listed on a person's original birth certificate. John Schaefer, USA News.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll-free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind in paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big, bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Welcome back. This is Lock and Load talking to Dean Weingarten. We were just talking about this article about the Commerce Clause. Is there anything you need to add to that to finish that up before we move on?
Well, I'd like to emphasize that 11 of 15 judges disagreed with Judge Roth.
Right.
It's not certain that three of the dissenters may also have disagreed. They just didn't say so or not. She is the only one. Nobody joined her on her dissent in this case, and that's a good thing. And one of the majority penned a concurrence which specifically addressed her argument. And I'm going to read it here. It's short. A conception of the Second Amendment right that retcons, I think this retroactively brings in, argument, modern commerce power into early American state law is anachronistic and flunks Bruin's history and tradition test. Setting the federal core through a combination of antebellum state police power and Congress's post-New Deal commerce authority, as the defense proposed, would underprotect the constitutional right to keep and bear arms. So that's the judge's has his head on straight, in my opinion.
Right. Okay.
And he's with the majority.
Well, that's a relief.
It's worth noting that we have this judge out there who's making a very serious case. She's not being sarcastic. She's not making a joke. She is making a serious case that she believes that the Commerce Clause overrides the Bill of Rights.
Well, I'm sure she is, and I'm sure she does, right? I understand that. I get it. The only thing I don't understand is, you know, that sounds more like something that she's making up for herself. This is her interpretation. And I've seen liberal judges, leftist judges get out there that actually just go by the law, no matter how distasteful they may find it.
Yeah, there are. And I think we're winning that argument. But I think if you look back into the 30s, the late 30s and the 40s and 50s and even in, well into the 60s and 70s.
Right.
Heck, I think you make a great argument for a lot of very bad decisions occurring in the middle 60s to the middle 70s.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we've just had a Roe v. Wade overturned, which was a terrible constitutional decision.
Right.
And that's the same. It's the same. They didn't use the Commerce Clause, I don't think. But it was a very similar argument. That was then. This is now. We are going to do things the way we want it to do, despite what the Constitution says.
Yeah. That's sort of an admission, isn't it? That's sort of an admission, knowing that what they're doing is unconstitutional.
Yes. Well, they usually don't put it in those words.
Well, I'm sure they don't, yeah. Why would they?
But it's what they do. You know, they'll say, well, look at the penumbras. We think that this applies to this because of that. And they don't really make the solid arguments.
Right.
They can put out a lot of word salad.
Sure. It's penumbra. Okay. Do we want to talk about this bear?
Yeah, we've got a couple bears.
Now, tell me about this bear. Let's look at the title. The article is titled, Montana Bear Researchers 357 Magnum. And two bear attacks with shots fired. So, tell me about this.
So, one of the things that I and others did when we started researching how effective pistols are in defense against bears is we made the decision that we would include every incident in which a handgun was fired in defense against bears. And one of the benefits of that is that it does away with selection bias. In other words, what we've seen, what I've seen in some other research, and I'm not going to name names right now because I can't easily back it up on air, is a lot of selection bias. Well, we're going to look at this incident and this incident. Oh, but we don't like that incident now. And this one's good. That one's good. Oh, and I will say that we see that all the time in people trying to make a case for gun control. They will often say, for example, well, of the rich countries, most of those rich countries have gun control and they have homicide rates far lower than the United States. Well, why did they choose rich countries? And how did they choose which ones were rich and which weren't? They have data from all the countries in the world, so how come they went to just this small subset? Well, because it reinforces their argument. It's a method of lying with statistics that we call selection bias. So what we did is we made the decision that we were going to include all cases where a pistol was fired in defense against bears. We weren't going to exclude any. And what we found, by the way, is that warning shots work a fair amount of the time. We don't know exactly because it's really hard to quantify because most cases where warning shots are fired against bears, if they work, they're never reported. What happened here and how this article came about was that, a game warden, Chris was his name, had to shoot a grizzly bear that was being released. I think it was about 1970-some. I have the incident, but I don't have it right in front of me. And he mentioned, while being interviewed, that there had been a case that he knew of where one of the employees of Fish and Game in Montana had shot and killed a grizzly bear in self-defense with a .22 revolver. But there wasn't a lot of detail to it. There wasn't a name or an exact place or time. And so I started looking and asking people if they had any knowledge of this so that we could get enough information to document it and include it in the database. Well, that resulted in Alan Schallenberger, who was a bear researcher in Montana for many years. He contacted me and says, yes, I know about this incident. I was partner with the guy who shot the bear. I handled his .22 revolver. He told me all about it. It happened in the summer of 1962, and this was the model of the revolver, and here's what happened. So we were able to document that case and include it. But in talking to Alan, it turned out there were three other incidents in which he had fired a handgun in defense against bears. So, of course, we wanted to include those in the database as well. And the first one was in 1976, and that's in a different article. And it was, he was camping, and this bear just refused to go away. It just circled round and around his campsite, and it got darker and darker, and eventually he pulled out his .357 and fired warning shots, and the bear left. But in this incident in 1977, the first one, or the middle one, he was doing research, and they were snaring bears, and then they would drug them with a dart gun, and they would do their weighing and their measuring and everything else they did in the research. Well, they had captured a big boar grizzly bear. And that boar was accompanied by a sow grizzly. They were a mating pair. And the boar was in a snare, but the sow wasn't. And she started to take objection to her mate being, you know, manhandled by these people, and charged at a trot, he says, from about 40 yards away, and he pulled out his Colt Python, nice choice of a .357, and fired shots in the air, and she swerved away and didn't come back. So that was a pretty clear case of defense of use of warning shots working.
Hang on for me. Hang on for me, if you will. We'll be right back talking to Dean Weingarten. This is Lock and Load.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
It's all too obvious. We're being distracted by meaningless news headlines. When you dig to find the truth, you discover that the American way of life is being threatened by the institutions we used to trust. It's easy to see the future holds more food shortages, systematic controls, and government overreach. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are preparing. They're taking steps to be self-reliant and investing in emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy to get started and join the ranks with this limited-time offer. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and get their top-selling 4-week emergency food kit. Enjoy tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get new lower pricing this week on these 4-week emergency food kits. Secure at least one food kit for each member of your family. They ship free, too. Those who know what's coming are preparing. Smart folks, go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now, and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Last time on the firing line, this is Lock and Load. Talking to Dean Weingarten, talking about these bears that they've been, this last now. This took place in the 70s, yeah?
Correct. Yeah, the first incident where the bear was circling the camp was in 1976. The incident I just related where the bear, the female, the sow bear, was trotting toward him, and the snared mate was in 1977, and then the next instance will be in 1978. But in the one where I just related it, he had someone there who had a shotgun, who was supposed to be there as protection against bears. But the fellow, because they were busy with this snared male bear and doing all the measurements and everything, he had laid his shotgun down, and he laid it down as it happened in the direction that the female bear, the sow bear, was coming from. So he'd had to move towards the sow to get the shotgun, and so he didn't do that. And the fellow, Schallenberger, the researcher, used his .357 to scare off the bear with warning shots. Now in the 19, and that shows you that it's one of the reasons I think that pistols are more effective in defending against bears than rifles or shotguns, and that is that people tend to put down the rifle or shotgun when they get busy, whether they're cooking at a campfire or answering a call of nature or using binoculars, whatever. One of the advantages of a pistol is it's usually carried in a holster on the person, so you have it when you need it. So in 1978, Schallenberger was, Alan Schallenberger is his name, was doing more research with bears, and he had a helper with him. Keith Ahn was a young biologist at a bachelor's degree, University of Montana, and they had a radio collar bears, and they had a radio receiver to track the bears. So they went up on a mountain tracking bears, but they'd seen a number of grizzly bears up there, and they wanted to see what was going on. So when they got to about 8,200 feet, which was above the timberline there, they spotted this large adult grizzly, and they could determine from the radio collar that it was the same boar grizzly that they had had in the snare when he scared away the sow a year earlier. And it was coming toward them from about 300 yards away. Now, 300 yards is a pretty good ways away. But they could tell because of the radio tracker that that was that male bear. So Alan pulled out his .357 and fired two shots in the air. And he didn't notice any effect on the grizzly bear. And they ducked behind a boulder, and he quickly reloaded his revolver, and they had the shotgun with them, and they made sure that was loaded, and they were waiting, and if the bear peered over the top of the boulder, they were going to kill the bear. but the bear never showed up. So I figure that this is a case where we can't determine if the warning shots were effective or not. They didn't notice any effect on the bear. It was 300 yards away. That's a long ways away.
Indeed.
And yet the bear altered. It didn't continue to come toward them. They never had to shoot more shots. So I say we can't really determine whether those warning shots were effective or not. There's just too much uncertainty there because they did not see any immediate effect of the shot. But we have to include it in the database because those shots were fired as defense against bears. But I rate it as indeterminate. Can't really tell if they were effective. Just too far away.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess that, you know, so the thing that amazes me about these stories that you're telling me is the fact that it seems like with all of, I mean, was it just not known as much in the 70s that if you went out there and you were in bear territory and maybe you darted a bear in bear territory, that the bear would, another bear would, what should we say, be curious about that? And then, you know,
and if they're mated bears, they might not like you messing around with their mate.
They might not.
I think that the people understood that pretty well. That's why they were out there armed. And Schallenberger says something about it. He says, back then, that was before the grizzly bears were protected and we could hunt them in Montana, and a shot didn't ring the dinner bell for them. You know, because now with the bears being protected, they hear gunshots in many areas. They'll run toward the gunshot, figuring there's a downed big game animal. And if they don't get the animal, they're likely to get a gut pile. And many people have made the claim that if that shooting in these areas attracts grizzly bears. But back then, bears were hunted, and Schallenberger says that he believes that's one of the reasons that warning shots were more effective at that time. And that makes sense to me.
I guess so.
There's an article that a retired game biologist from Alaska wrote at the American Hunter. And he examined dozens and dozens of cases. It appears from the numbers he gives, he doesn't give exact numbers, but there were 41 cases where there were very detailed interviews. And then there were, he said, about the same number of not as detailed cases. And then his own personal experiences, which appear to be at least two or three. So we're looking in the neighborhood of, six, seven dozen cases. And he's reluctant to put numbers on things, and he's reluctant to make definitive statements. But it's obvious from the article that warning shots work in a lot of cases. But there are also cases where they don't work. And so that's an important thing to note. I was looking today, rereading a study on the effectiveness of bear spray from published in 2008 by Herrero and Tom Smith. And it's a very significant study because it's been quoted all over the place. But it's interesting that in that study, they say 14% of the incidents that they looked at, the sound and sight of the bear spray were the most effective parts of the bear spray. Well, that kind of fits in with what we were talking about with warning shots being effective. I mean, it's not like the bear has been wounded, but there's very loud noise, and perhaps a significant flash as well. So there's good evidence that bears can be dissuaded by, you know, a display and sound for both bear spray and for firearms. And it strikes me as silly to say that, bear spray is effective with sound, but we're not going to count warning shots as being effective. So you have to include warning shots in a reasonable, to get a reasonable understanding of how effective firearms are.
Yes. I would imagine so. I would imagine so. Is it getting any better? The people that are going out into the wild now, are they beginning to become aware of the fact that we need to be ready for this?
I think so. I think we're having a significant effect. While I don't spend as much time on forums on the internet as I used to because I'm busy writing and researching, I've noticed a change in the tone on forums, and I just don't see people making the claim that handguns are ineffective to defend against bears anymore. And I have a brother who has spent a lot of time on the forums, and he says the same thing, and he's more on hunting forums, that it's just hard to find people to make the claim that handguns are not effective. And what we look at, when I was looking at this study by Herrero and Smith, I saw something that really piqued my interest that I hadn't really done the calculations on before. And they're talking about in the neighborhood of 213 or so incidents for handguns and long guns where they investigated. And they really, in my opinion, it appears they cherry-picked the data. Well, let's say there was selection bias. They talk openly about their selection.
We have run out of time. I was listening to you too much. Thank you for joining me this week.
It's always a pleasure.
Yes, sir. Never been about gun control. It's always going to be about total control. I'll catch you on Monday. Everybody stay safe. This has been Lock and Load.
Operate. At Staccato, we know there's no such thing as a fair fight, and we bring the unfair advantage that is the 2011 platform.
Dominate.
At Staccato, we know the most important gun you own is the one that you're carrying when you're facing that threat to life and freedom.
Win.
We want you to enter that objective confident that you are carrying the best gun in a gunfight. No compromise. No sacrifice. Staccato2011.com. Stand ready to face down the darkness with 2011.
When it comes to online gun shops, Primary Arms is one of America's largest retailers of new firearms, parts, accessories, and gear. They stock over 600 popular brands, all with everyday low prices and fast shipping. If you ever have any questions about a product, their team of product experts will help you make the right purchase. So, don't settle for less. Visit PrimaryArms.com today and see why so many gun owners make it their first destination for all of their firearm needs.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is a process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.